Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, and there are many lead stories. The leading story to me is that Mr. Evil himself may be behind Obama's ideas. Now, who is Mr. Evil? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. What if you woke up one morning and you learned that the man who hated America more than anyone on the planet, the man who wanted to kill free speech because it criticized him and his left-wing cronies, the man who wanted to crush anyone with any love for borders, language, and culture, anyone but the far left. Who is Mr. Evil? Well, you'll have to figure that out for yourself. But Mr. Evil apparently is behind shaping the agenda of the new Barack Hussein Obama administration. And I got to tell you something. You leftists may be celebrating today, but you'll be regretting it tomorrow. For although you think that this control of the media and of conservative ideas is going to be limited to us, you're mistaken. Because once these guys like Mr. Evil dig their fangs into this country, any more than they've already dug their fangs into this country, they're going to come for you next. They will take no criticism whatsoever. Psychopaths like this want only one thing, and that is absolute power. And that leads me to today's editorial, which I entitled "The Postman Always Rings Left." It should be up on michaelsavage.com momentarily on the top left. In fact, there it is. And it goes like this. It says that the Democrats are determined to reimpose the Fairness Doctrine. They want the Michael Savage Show and the rest of conservative talk radio to be eliminated. They want the government to decide what kind of views you hear on the air. You see, they want the same people who lose your mail and break your packages at the post office to deliver talk radio to you. And as we know, the postman always rings left. Now, most frightening of all about this situation is how easy it actually will be for the socialist left to reimpose the Fairness Doctrine. I had thought that it would require an act of Congress, but I learned it doesn't. The Congress does not have to pass a law at all. All Hussein Obama needs to do is to do nothing. All that Hussein needs to do is to have his FCC impose the Fairness Doctrine as a regulation on the media. And now that Hussein Obama will be appointing leftist cronies as FCC commissioners, such as Henry Rivera, who supports this fascistic Fairness Doctrine, it'll be quite simple for the demon cats to try and muzzle talk radio. You see, I thought it would require a vote of Congress, but my very intelligent advisor, who will remain unstated, said to me, "But Michael, how did the Fairness Doctrine get enacted last time?" I looked it up, and it turned out it was not voted on. It was simply an act of the FCC. But here's something the left hasn't counted on. The Fairness Doctrine, which was struck down by the Reagan administration, was never designed to alter the content of individual shows. While it did require that alternative viewpoints be presented, individual stations would fulfill this obligation with programming that is opposite at other times. In other words, they could have a conservative show on, then a liberal show on. They wouldn't have to have a sentence introduced in every sentence that a conservative made. If the Fairness Doctrine were actually reimposed, the stock of genuine conservatives such as myself, Michael Savage, would go through the roof. So don't be so sure that even if the new socialist cabal succeeds, that Michael Savage won't be around. They would still have to offer me as the only conservative alternative. This is Michael Savage, and I approve of "The Postman Always Rings Left." 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com has this and other stories, including Who is Mr. Evil? It's really up on my website, so there's no point in calling about it. Play Mr. Postman. This was great in the 60s. I love those bad dudes. Women look better in the years that gone by, like the 80s. They were hotter in those leg warmers. They look skanky today. They all look like transvestites to me. I'm talking about the Hollywood scum. They think that they're so good looking. They look like Hollywood. They look like post-op transvestites, by and large. They don't look like women anymore. They look like other, like a third sex. Something out of the madness of a midnight movie, like a tranny show. All of Hollywood's like a tranny show. Most of the actors are gay, even the married ones. Most of the actresses are lesbians, even the married ones. And they're creating the images for your children. You hear this? Now, it's interesting. I turn it off already. Here's the interesting part. Remember Prince, the musician, the gender-bending Minnesota rocker who now lives in Beverly Hills? He's now a Jehovah's Witness. And he speaks out in a newly released interview that the Bible opposes homosexuality and God has said enough is enough. It's going to appear in a new issue of The New Yorker. He believes in the Bible. He said it was a result of 2 years of arguing with his friend. He said God came to earth and saw people sticking it wherever and doing it with whatever. And he just cleared it all out and he said, like, enough. And so that's Prince. Here's Prince, a guy who has cavorted around in high heels and makeup for so many years, who has come to his senses. According to him, the Jehovah's Witness faith believes that abortion is wrong, homosexuality is a serious sin, and gender roles are defined. What's interesting is that the Jehovah's Witnesses were the first to be targeted by Adolf Hitler. Isn't that interesting? Very, very interesting. Very interesting indeed. I also read many other things today on the news lines. Obama has picked a hard left civil rights activist to be attorney general, a stooge who worked for Janet Reno and said nothing while 80 men and women and children went up in smoke. His name? Eric Holder. Oh, yes, get ready for a rocky road and a rocky ride. Joan in New York on WOR, you're up on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yes, I want to commend your use of the English language. I'm a former English teacher with a master's degree in English, and I love the way you use English. I love especially your use of alliteration, and especially when you talk about the classics. You really have a wonderful command of the English language.
Well, Joan, what's interesting, yesterday I used a big word that would have stumped George Bush called peripatetic. You know, it was three or four syllables. That's so beyond the president today. If a president speaks in more than a two-syllable word, he's considered an egghead. I have an article from the Baltimore Examiner in my hand called The Sad, Sad State of College English. And here is a community college professor who cannot believe how bad language, the use of language, has become in the United States of America. He quotes some sentences that he has seen around colleges that college teachers are sending around to each other. Here's one. The person was innocent by an innocent bystander who just happened to be the victim of your friend's careless responsibility. You hear a sentence like this?
I believe it because
Here's another one. Society has moved towards serial killers. Here's another one. Romeo and Juliet exchanged their vowels. Here's another one. Willie Loman put Biff on a pedal stool. Here's another quote from college students today. Another effect of smoking is it may give you cancer of the thought. Now, these are actual examples. Here's another one. Benjamin Franklin discovered America while fling a kite. Another one. Christopher Columbus sailed all over the world until he found Ohio. Now, what do you blame this upon? You blame this gibberish on many things. I blame it upon the fact that the morons who are entering college don't belong in college. The largest percentage of morons going to college today do not even belong in college. They flunked every grade to get to college, but because of affirmative action, because of social pressures, from the bottom is being pushed up to the top, and as a result, the top is being pushed out of the colleges altogether. There's another element of all of this. It's not only affirmative action putting kids into college who are not ready for it and are not actually qualified for it. But the internet, I would argue, has also destroyed the use of language, Joan, because when people do email, when I say the internet, I should rather have said email. Email is short, sort of telegramish, and people send telegrams to each other without grammar, without proper use of English language, and as a result, it's now spreading like a cancer through the English language itself. So I would think that affirmative action and the internet, and excuse me, the email system have destroyed the use of the English language, Joan.
That's true, along with this text messaging that the kids do now. So
Right. Shorthand, blah, 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 moving in a car. Everybody, blah, 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 moving in a car. They all have something important to say. So we are degenerating as a culture. We are degenerating as a civilization, which is why a nobody like Obama could become president. When you have illiterate morons who don't even know how to spell a sentence, never mind a word, they can't compose a sentence, spell a word, of course they're going to vote for a huckster like Obama, especially when you run an old fool like McCain against them. Joan, thanks for the call. It's one man's opinion. I'll be right back.
Savage.
About English, English in America, the English language. Obama was elected by text messaging and email to illiterate morons who don't even know what he stands for, nor could they care less. The person was an innocent bystander who just happened to be killers. Here's another example of college students today. Romeo and Juliet exchanged their vowels. Would you like another one? Willie Loman put Biff on a petal stool. Would you like a few more? Now, this is not just a small community college. These sentences were posted by a college professor who had received them from professors around the country. All these sentences, he says, were written by college students who were not intending to be funny. But you see, he said college students don't read anymore, and they haven't had much exposure to language or history. And he said it's gotten worse over the years. Here's another one, for example, quote, Keith helps me to have a good self-esteem, A-S-T-E-A-M. One homeless person lives under a bride in Lanham, Maryland. Or here's another one, jogging on a woman's ovaries can be dangerous to her health. Could you believe this? Now, you would think this is written by someone for whom English is a second language with mixed up phrases and ideas. But if you ask the students what they mean, they can't tell you verbally either. He says the students are saying things they clearly don't intend to say or spelling things that make their sentences take on entirely new meanings. So that is exactly why we have a radical far-left president in the United States of America today. And make no mistake about it, Obama is not a normal Democrat. He is the most far-left Democrat in American history, and his strings are being pulled by George Soros, a man who many people call Mr. Evil himself. New Hampshire, Dennis, you're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, sir. My question was, it's not a question, it's just, I'm 62 years old, and when I went to school, if you didn't cut the mustard, you stayed back. Now, I guess we have this thing called social promotions.
Yes, and you have self-esteem. In fact, now if you do cut the mustard a little too sharply, they single you out for being a racist.
Exactly. And my I would like to hear your comments on this whole aspect of social promotions, because usually the people that are socially promoted end up, unfortunately, like Columbine, bringing guns to school.
No. When you're socially promoted, you wind up as president of the United States. If you're socially promoted your whole life and nobody challenges you because you're of the proper constitution and composition and you look exactly right and everyone's afraid to say a word to you, why, you then go to Harvard, you then go to the law review, you then get elected to the next level. This is what happens in a country that's intimidated by its own policies and its own fears.
You put it in perspective for me, and I appreciate that.
This is just the beginning of it, my friend. You haven't seen any of what's coming in this country. You are going to see a wholesale replacement of competent white men, and I'm targeting exactly the group that's going to be thrown out of jobs in the government. And I'll say it, and I'll be the first to say it, and I may be not the last to say it. I am telling you that there's going to be a wholesale firing of competent white men in the United States government up and down the line, in police departments, in fire departments. Everywhere in America, you're going to see an exchange that you've never seen in history, and it's not going to be necessarily for the betterment of this country.
I agree with you 100%.
And why am I the only one who has the nerve to say what's actually going on and what is going to happen under this guy unless he's stopped? And I'll tell you why, because I see it happening. What I see happening is the radical left, which hijacked the Democrat Party, is pulling the party as far to the left as possible, as fast as possible, and there is a vacuum on the other side. There is no Republican Party. There is no conservative movement. There is nobody left. George Bush gutted the Republican Party. George Bush gutted the conservative movement. There is not a voice on the right. With far and few exceptions, you'll find them maybe in radio, nowhere else. You know that, and I know that. So what is to stop the radical left socialists from dragging us into a Cuban-style socialism? Almost nothing.
Well, hopefully it's you. And
Please. Me? One guy alone? Me at my age, a man alone in front of a microphone? I'm not going to stop this downward spiral, this pull to the socialist cesspool. No, the American people are going down the toilet, but they don't even know it. They think they got change. They think they got hope. You know what they got? They got exactly what the Cubans got when the Castro brothers, those two gangsters, took over that country. They got firing squads and they got dungeons. And they wound up with 1950s Buicks and playing checkers on the back streets. That's where we're going, my friend. It's trickle-up poverty all the way under Obama. That's my opinion. If you think these far-left clowns, most of whom have never run a Frankfurter stand, are going to save America, you're out of your mind. You're telling me Carl Levin, that goofball from Michigan, the guy who couldn't manage a hot dog stand, he knows something about economics? Tell me one business Carl Levin has ever created. Tell me one business that Obama has ever created. Tell me one business that anybody working for Obama has ever created. Tell me one job that any of them have ever created other than service jobs, government jobs, community activist jobs. None of them know the first thing about building a business in this country. We're being dragged into a Cuban-style socialism. No, it's not going to stop with a Canadian-style socialism. It's not going to stop with just universal health care, which is absolutely worthless garbage. Universal health care is so good that when a Cuban elite gets sick, he flies to Miami under an assumed name because he doesn't want any of the Cuban doctors to touch him.
Savage.
It's the Savage Nation. To show you how illiterate the people are who voted for Obama, and to show you that it's not only me saying it or recognizing it, there's a TV piece out that was done by a man named Ziegler on media malpractice. He says, the media coverage of this campaign was so scandalous, so beyond bias, it goes into the realm of media malpractice. It's a documentary that explores how much voters knew about American government, done by John Ziegler. You will not believe that when he interviewed the dummies who voted for Obama, he asked them a simple question. Who controls Congress? They all said Republicans. Of course, the opposite's true. They didn't know. Then when he asked them which candidate has a pregnant teenage daughter, they all knew Palin. That explains to you how an imposter like Obama could become president of the United States right in front of your eyes. Illiteracy, propaganda equals totalitarianism. And now you understand why Mr. Evil wants talk radio disappeared. We are the last voices of reason. We are the last voices of information. We are the last voices of patriotism left in the entire geography of the media. And I will tell you right now that you're probably going to get the media that you deserve, just as you got a the government that you deserve. Jim in Albany, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, how you doing? I just want to ask why you're so pessimistic all the time. Why is there no optimism in your voice? I mean, you call us dummies because we voted for somebody for change, and it doesn't seem like you have anything good to say about them. But
no, I have nothing good to say about. Why should I have something good to say about a social worker who's never done anything in his life?
I don't.
What are his qualifications for the presidency? Name five qualifications. What are his achievements?
You have to be a U.S. citizen. I think there's an age requirement. You have to be over a certain age.
All right,
age.
Now you're pulling my leg. You see, you're exactly what I'm talking about. You're an illiterate moron. There's nothing that Obama has done that has qualified him for the presidency. Zero. Nothing.
There's nothing he's qualified to do for the
No,
presidency?
Absolutely nothing. He's done nothing to qualify him for the highest office in the Western world. Nothing.
You mean
shooting staples into telephone poles and working as a Chicago machine politician as a qualification? Not to me and 58 million Americans, my friend. Have a nice life. Move to Cuba. The country is finished. And that is because of George Bush. I want to repeat again so that you get it through your heads what actually happened. The country did not move to the left. The country did not say, give us a socialist government. The country did not say, hail Obama. What the country did was they said, we cannot stand George Bush and his Republican thieves. We ran away from George Bush's Republican thievery, George Bush's mangling of the English language, George Bush's endless corrupt war. That is what the country said. They did not say that we want to embrace Karl Marx's policies in America. Now, the Republicans made this happen on two fronts. One, they let George Bush destroy America. Number two, they used an old fool as a candidate, a man who was more of a clown, a self-deprecating clown, than a leader. Consequently, we have, finally, for the first time for the American communist left, a hero. That's my opinion. It's that simple. We also are losing our democracy on many other levels. And we are being dragged into tyranny day by day. Here in California, there was a vote on homosexual marriage. The people spoke fair and square. 52-48, they said no to homosexual marriage. We have an attorney general who disguised himself as a moderate, but he has always been Moonbeam. He will always be Moonbeam to me. Moonbeam Brown conned me, and I gave him about $5,000 in his election campaign to become attorney general. I met the man. I thought he had moved to the center. I figured he's not a bad guy. I wake up and I see Moonbeam Brown is more to the left than he was 30 years ago. Now, Moonbeam Brown is entitled to his opinions. He is the attorney general of California, though, and he has certain obligations to the people. Jerry Brown has the responsibility as attorney general to defend Proposition 8. But Moonbeam Brown refuses to uphold his duty as Attorney General of California, just as Governor Schwarzenegger, the fraud, has an obligation as governor to defend the proposition that was voted on by direct democracy. But that faker from Austria, that cream puff from Austria, also is abrogating his responsibilities as a governor. So we have seen tyranny appear in the state of California. So don't assume it's just appearing on a national scene. Tyranny is appearing everywhere in America, and it's happening primarily because George Bush gutted the conservative movement within the Republican Party. The media has gutted conservative voices within the media. There are a few. There certainly are a few conservative voices in talk radio. There are occasionally conservative voices on television. They sneak through the grip of Rupert Murdoch. Occasionally they will be heard, but they're few and far between. Do you understand that? That is why Moonbeam Brown can refuse to uphold his duty as Attorney General of California. That is why Arnold Schwarzenegger can come along and say, you know what? I may be governor, but I think I'll act as an activist right now. Here's Kennedy back from the sick ward. He came back after getting treatment for a brain tumor. Immediately, he goes back to form, and he announces a plan to submit Cuban-style universal health care. These people won't be happy till we are living in a Cuban-style America. Do you understand that? Well, I do. I do. Now, let's talk about the U.S. military for a minute. It's very easy to sit here and wave a flag and say, I support the military. I support the troops. We have the greatest military in the world. A military is only as good as its leadership. We may have some of the bravest men in the world, some of the best-trained men in the world. We have the absolute worst leadership in the history of the United States military. Do you know that there have been over 70 hijackings off Somalia of ships, and that Somali pirates have hijacked a super tanker hundreds of miles off the Horn of Africa? They've seized the Saudi-owned ship loaded with crude and its 25-member crew, and the U.S. Navy had nothing to say other than, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I've never seen anything like this. We had the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, some big I'm ready to start throwing things in this studio. We have never had such weak-kneed leadership in the history of the U.S. military, ever, never mind during a time like this. Mr. Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, when he heard that the pirates had seized another ship with $100 million worth of oil, was quoted as saying, "Oh my, they're so brazen. Oh my, those pirates are so well organized. Oh my, there's so little we can do. Oh me, oh my, once they've done this, we don't know what to do with the U.S. Navy. Oh me, oh my, let me dash off to China and see if I can do some joint China-U.S. Affairs. Oh my, I'm so busy. Oh my, I have a run to a cocktail party in Georgetown. Oh me, oh my, I'm the chief of everything, but I don't know how to fire a gun. Oh me, oh my, I'm the chief of everything, but I'm so terrified of everything that I won't order my men to do a thing. Oh me, oh my." That's what we have now leading the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That's what America has become. Now, let me remind you again. The U.S. Navy was created, if I remember correctly, in the early 1800s, precisely because Somali Muslim pirates were seizing cargo ships, U.S. and European cargo ships. There was no U.S. Navy at the time. And so the government at the time said, we have to protect our merchant ships. We're going to create, if the pirates have these great ships with ruthless crews, we are going to build greater ships with more ruthless crews. That's how the U.S. Navy was born. So they got the toughest men off the worst streets of America. Mean cutthroats. Mean killers. Let us say the toughest men of their time were pressed into service in the U.S. Navy. There was no affirmative action. There was no women, and there were no women in the U.S. Navy giving birth on the ship as a social experiment. There were no classes on diversity on the ship. They got the meanest, toughest bums they could find, and they said, "You're in the Navy now, mister." And then they went out to the coast off Somalia, and when they found the pirate ship, you know what they did? They sank it, or they boarded it and cut the pirates' throats. And that's the birth of the U.S. Navy. You know what we become now under Mr. Mullen? Oh, my, those pirates are brazen. Oh, my, we didn't think they had such a reach. Oh my, there's very little we can do once they've seized the ship. Oh me, oh my, I have to rush off to Georgetown to another cocktail party. Oh me, oh my, we never had such bad leadership in the United States military in history as we have now under George W. Bush. Now, if Mr. Obama wants to really make some change, and Mr. Obama wants to give America some hope, the first thing you ought to do is put a leader into the U.S. Navy and a leader into the U.S. Joint Chief of Staffs that understands that a military is designed for one thing only, and that is to kill the enemy and capture the enemy and to preserve America's freedoms. It is not designed for social engineering. It is not designed for diversity training. It is not designed, for example, in the Navy to be floating laboratories of birthing classes. That's one man's opinion. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Let me go back and teach you a history lesson about what has been going on in the world for the last few hundred years about the war of radical Islam against the West. You think it just originated 20, 30 years ago because of the state of Israel 50, 60 years ago? That's because you're an illiterate idiot. That's because you know nothing so much about your own, well, your own health and well-being. Let me go back to Thomas Jefferson and the founding of the U.S. Navy. In 1786, Thomas Jefferson, then the ambassador to France, and John Adams, then the ambassador to Britain, met in London with Sidi Haji Abdul Rahman Aja, the ambassador to Britain from Tripoli. The Americans asked Aja why his government was hostile to American ships, even though there had been no provocation. The Muslim ambassador's response from Tripoli was reported to the Continental Congress as following, quote, "It was written in their Quran that all nations which had not acknowledged the Prophet were sinners, whom it was the right and duty of the faithful to plunder and enslave, and that every Muslim who was slain in this warfare was sure to go to paradise." He said also that the man who was the first to board a vessel had one slave over and above his share, and that when they sprang to the deck of an enemy ship Every sailor held a dagger in his hand, in each hand, and a third in his mouth, which usually struck such terror into the foe that they cried out for quarter at once. That was the beginning. That was the beginning. And so payments in ransom and tribute to the Barbary States amounted to 20% of United States government annual revenues in 1800. You know, this history lesson is very, very important to you, because we have an impotent, supine military right now, especially in the U.S. Navy, which has become a floating re-education camp. I don't think you understand how bad it is. Yeah, you have brave men in there for sure. You have competent men in there for sure, but the leadership is incompetent. And so, in the early 19th century, going back again to a repeat of history, Jefferson proposed a League of Smaller Nations to patrol the area, but the U.S. could not contribute. And eventually, Congress only appropriated a small amount of money. And for 11 years, Americans who lived in Algeria lived as slaves to Algerian Moors, the Muslims. And so for a while, Portugal had to patrol the Straits of Gibraltar and to prevent Barbary pirates from entering the Atlantic. But they made a cash deal with the pirates, and they were again sailing into the Atlantic and engaging in piracy. By late 1793, a dozen American ships had been captured, goods stripped, and everyone enslaved by the peace-loving practitioners of the religion of peace. Portugal then offered some armed patrols, but American merchants needed an armed American presence to sail near Europe. After serious debate, the U.S. Navy was born in March 1794. Six frigates were authorized, and so began the construction of the ships called the Constellation, the Constitution, the United States, and three other frigates. This is American military history. These ships were created to stiffen American resolve to resist the continuation of ransom payments, which led to the two Barbary Wars along the North African coast. And I don't have to tell you the names of the war, but I have to tell you, and get it ready, the United States Marine Corps actions in these wars led to the line from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli in the opening of the Marine Hymn. And I want you to get that ready, the Marine Hymn. You see, because of the hazards of boarding hostile pirate ships, Marines' uniforms had a leather high collar to protect against cutlass slashes. This led to the nickname Leatherneck for U.S. Marines. This is the Savage Nation. Play the Marine Corps hymn, please. And so we have gone from leathernecks to petticoats in the U.S. military today. From leathernecks to petticoats in one generation, the new military under George Mush, the endless war, and the meltdown of the U.S. Navy. Now the question is, what should the Navy do with Somali pirates who have seized these tankers? Pirates hijack oil tanker and brazen attack. 70 such ships have been attacked. Now, why can the U.S. Navy not fight these pirates? Well, let's go back to Bill Clinton, who began the deballing of the U.S. Navy. I will remind you that it was Clinton who permitted the USS Cole to be blown almost in half, its back almost broken, simply because Bill Clinton told the men not to have their guns loaded. Bill Clinton told the men to wave as the nice men in Yemen came up and waved at them with their goods and their baskets. Hello, American! We come with boom! And the bombs went off on the rubber raft, and the USS Cole was almost broken in half. Blame your friend Bill Clinton. His wife will soon be Secretary of State, so you can expect more ships to sink around the world when they seize the moment. That's not to mention Bill Ayers. That's not to mention Reverend Wright. That's not to mention Barack Hussein Obama and his far-left minions. You've seen nothing yet. You're only seeing the beginning. And the reason that we're seeing the pirates hijacking the oil tankers right now is precisely because they smell weakness in America. I may be the first in America to notice this and to put the two and two together, but Obama has already been tested, in case you don't know it. And so I raise the question to you, what can be done? I have answers, but apparently the U.S. Admiral, the head of the whole Pacific Fleet, he was stunned. Admiral Michael Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said he was stunned by the reach of the pirates. And he said, I'm stunned by the range of it, less so than I am the size. He said further, the pirates are very good at what they do. They're very well armed. Tactically, they're very good, said Mullen. And so once they get to a point where they can board, it becomes very difficult to get them off, because clearly now they hold hostages. Mullen then said, the question then becomes, well, what do you do about the hostages? And that's where the standoff is. And so Mullen went on before he had to dash off to a petticoat dinner somewhere in Georgetown. I'm going to give away a free copy of America's Last Great Hope, my book, Psychological Nudity, to show you what it took to create a real American, an American like me, the son of an immigrant, a man who took no quarter and taught me how to be a man in America instead of another muddled moron. Another muddled moron. AJ, tell me. AJ, what should we do to the pirates?
I am so glad you're back. Man, I am furious. I've got to get this off my chest, sir. Savage, our country is in trouble. And dagnabbit, black people don't understand what they just done. White people don't understand what they just done. And you just hit the nail on the damn head.
All right, I'm going to hit the nail on the head with you. AJ, can you name one story in my book you want to read, and I'll send you a free copy. Go. One story.
Savage, I just like the one that when you was telling about the one with the poodle, when you talk about the dead dog and put it in the garbage can.
Okay, that's a funny story in its crazy way. I agree. No, because it's so unheard of in this day and age. It's Tippy, the dog dies and is thrown into a garbage truck. That's story number 10 on page 21. AJ, you're getting a copy flying out to you tomorrow. Now, why is that a funny story? We go from an age where when a pet died, the garbage men were called. I mean, I'm not saying that that maybe is the way it should be. But when my dog died, he laid on the rug. My mother cried like a baby had died. And then my father said, call the garbage department, the New York Sanitation Department. But why did he do that? That's the way it was done then. Today, they got cemeteries and tombstones. They go to cemeteries now. Over, there's the dog. No children, no grandchildren, but they all cry over a dog.
Seven.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
On a dead man's chest, yo-ho-ho, and a bottle of rum. Drink and the devil have done for the rest. Yo-ho-ho, and a bottle of rum. Bottle
of rum. To love rum, rum, rum. To love rum.
The mate was fixed, by the
bosun's pike. Bosun brain with a marlin spike. Hookie's throat was marked like it had been gripped by fingers ten. There they lay, all good dead men. Like break no day in a boozing can. Bottle of rum, rum, rum. Bottle of rum. I am singing some songs to do with piracy and... I love this song. Teddy loves this song. All right, well, that's fine. Thank you very much. Pirate. We're talking about piracy off Somalia by Muslim pirates. And the important part of this is that this has been going on for a long period of time, that it's part of the culture of Somalia to conduct piracy, particularly when you have weaklings passing by in your waterways. And right now we are the weakling of the waterways, as witnessed by the... I think he's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. His name is Michael Mullen. I want you to listen to this man. Do we have that one? U.S. Admiral stunned by pirates. Admiral Michael Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was besides himself with praise and almost excitement for the pirates' daring do. Listen to Michael Mullen. Now, this is the man in charge of the U.S. Navy.
Were you stunned or surprised by the attack on this large vessel today versus going after smaller boats?
I'm stunned by the range of it, less so than I am the size. These are pretty. They've proven to be pretty capable. Can get on and off lots of vessels. I mean, this is a 300,000.
Let's stop right here. This is the new leader. This is the new military man under George Bush. MBAs. College boys. I've never seen anything like this. And you wonder why we were in Iraq for 6 years? You wonder why the U.S. Navy, all it does is train and never does anything? I'm sorry to tell you, I, as an American citizen, I'm appalled by the waste of money in the U.S. military. Oh, I'm in favor of national defense. Scrambled eggs on their hats. All they're going to do is go to work for some defense contractor the minute they get out. I'm sick of it. I am sick of it. Now, what do you do with pirates? Okay, let's analyze it. We're sitting here. They've seized a tanker. It's three times the size of a U.S. aircraft carrier. There's Mullen again. It's three times the size of an aircraft carrier. You hear? I don't want to tell you, an aircraft carrier has about 100 F-A-18 Hornets on it, and God knows what else, but it's three times bigger now. Now he's dealing with size. It's all these kinds. So it's a huge super tanker laden with oil. It has very little defensive crew on it, and the Somali pirates board it. And they say, give us a ransom or we're going to start to kill the crew. If you board the ship, we'll blow the ship up. How do you deal with a situation like that? What do you do with it? Well, my lads, you deal with it the way our men dealt with it hundreds of years ago. You say, all right, my friend, we'll be back in a while. We're heading to Somalia right now. We're going to take your whole darn village hostage. Your women, your children, your grandfather. We're going to take your entire treat. Fire with fire. You want to play terrorist? We're bigger terrorists than you are. Here goes your wife. Here goes your son. And there goes your village. You like it? That's what a military's supposed to do. It's not supposed to have MBAs running it, sitting there crossing their legs and discussing it over tea and crumpets. You understand why this country is a sad sack right now? You have any idea what's going on in the country right now? What George Bush has done to the military? Yeah, don't tell me about it. There's a way to deal with them. Remember when the hostages took those students hostage in Russia? The Chechen separatists? Now, if we had had weakling Yalies running the... If Russia had had weakling Yalies running the Russian special forces, the Spetsnaz, you know what would have happened? The Chechens would have taken over all of Russia. But instead, they had the former head of the KGB running Russia. And he knew who he was dealing with. He sent in the meanest, toughest men in the world. He sent in special forces. And you know what happened. Sure, some hostages died. But every one of those rotten bums was killed on the spot. Not one of them was taken out for a trial. Not one of them was taken out to give you a story about how he was manhandled. Not one of them with the burqa on came out crying about how, oh, we were manhandled by the Russians. No, they were all crucified inside that auditorium. That's how the Russians dealt with pirates. So don't tell me it can't be done. The problem is we have weaklings running America, which is why they're bailing out their friends on Wall Street, because not only are they weaklings, but they're criminals on top of it all. I'm just getting warmed up here. I'm telling you, this is one man's opinion. You don't have to accept what I say to you. What's your alternative? You want to give the pirates a ransom? We live in a changing world, I admit that. But certain things never change. Bullies never change. Piracy never changes, nor do the treatments thereof. For example, today, I was walking around in a mall I go to by bicycle. White, liberal suburb. And what do I see? I see a bearded man with a skull cap, which is nothing unusual in America. What was unusual was he was walking with his doll, and she was dressed in a medieval costume. Not only a burqa, but her entire face had like a Lone Ranger mask hanging off a scarf. All I saw was slits for her eyes. And there were all the good liberals making believe that, oh, no, no, we're tolerant. It's just a little different. Oh, no, there's nothing unusual. I don't want to look at them in any strange way. Just that there's a woman walking around a chattel. Just a woman walking around as a slave. Just a little bum there walking around with his wife like she's garbage. Oh, no, we're tolerant. We accept it. If you knew what was between the ears of those people towards you, I thought to myself. So I looked at them and shook my head. I said, this is America? We let men walk around with women and force their women to wear masks over their heads? And their eyes are only allowed to be seen as slits? I said to myself, and I said, yeah, it's a changing country. And then I'm walking and walking, and I get behind, I must tell you, two obese American women wearing very tight jeans. And I will tell you the truth, I didn't know what was worse. I didn't know what offended me more. I didn't know if the woman from with the medieval costume, wearing a Lone Ranger mask, being paraded around by her throwback husband, offended me more than the two obese women wearing tight jeans. Yes, it's a changing America, and we're caught between two poles. You decide which way you want to go on that magnet. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm a great believer in the freedom of information, but I think America is fully informed as to what these two gentlemen look like. So I don't feel like I'm interfering with First Amendment rights if I ask you to let us get on with the hearing.
That's Bonnie Schrank calling photographers to order. I'm Joe Bonnie Schrank. This is what America's Congress has come to. A man who ran a male prostitutes out of his apartment. This is now a top dog in the Democrat Party. His boyfriend, roommate, ran a male prostitution service out of his apartment. You hear? This is the degeneracy of the American government we have. It's unbelievable to me. This is what's running the country today. It was bad enough under Bush. I mean, they were crooks and incompetent, but at least they knew what they were doing. These people are crooks and incompetent, don't even know what they're doing. Houston, Texas, Marie, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I just want to tell you that your show and you are so addictive. I love your show. I love your passion. And I learned so much more by listening to your show. And I'm a fairly new listener.
Well, you're from Houston, correct?
Yes, sir.
You want to hear something interesting, Marie? I had an analysis done of the book orders for my book because I wanted to see where people were buying it around the country. You know, you would think, oh, they're so literate in certain cities, and that's where the book's selling. Do you know the number one city of buyers for my book are from Houston, Texas? I couldn't believe it.
Believe it.
I was shocked that people read in Texas. Well, no, according to the liberals, people in Texas don't read, you understand.
They don't read R-E-D-E, right?
No, number one was Houston as a city, a standout city. I could not believe it. I mean, I knew that I have a large audience in the New York area, if you add them up. But San Diego was like number two. Would you believe people read down in the old Navy city of San Diego? How could that be?
Amazing.
I thought only liberals read books. How is it possible that people bought books in Houston and San Diego and Las Vegas and in Florida? Chicago was a huge reading. Portland, I couldn't believe this. So I had the analysis done. I was shocked to see where my reading audience lies. You know, in bulk, it doesn't mean there aren't books sold across America. There are. But it's a small sample of a particularly telling for me. And I'm very, very amazed at the amount of people in Houston, Texas who listen to this show.
We love you over here.
Why does this guy who has a New York accent who gets so excited excite you in Texas? What is it about me that you like?
Well, you see, people generally think of us as laid back. We may look like that on the outside, but inside, I believe we're full of passion, just like you are. And
in other words, you're boiling over as to what's happening to your country and your state.
Well, that's an understatement.
What do you think about George Bush overall, being that he's so-called a Texan?
Well, I hope he's not going to be my next-door neighbor when he gets back here. I'm not thrilled about him at all. Even before I started listening to you, I was not thrilled with him.
Is there anything George Bush has done that you find to be admirable?
Well, he's got an accent. That's about
it. Okay. There you go. He can chop wood, I guess. But Well, I have said before that his greatest legacy may be his Supreme Court appointees. That may be the one lasting legacy of George Bush. He also vetoed late-term abortion, to his credit. That's infanticide, as you well know. And we're going to have it back on the, under Obama. We're going to have infanticide. We're going to have every abomination known to mankind come back. Marie, I'm sending you a free copy of Psychological Nudity. Stay on the line. You'll be another Texan for Savage. Daryl in Hartford, Connecticut, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Barack Obama's not only qualified to be president, he could be on the Supreme Court. He graduated at the top of his class.
Let's stop right here. You just made a gloriously, impossibly ridiculous statement. He's qualified to be on the Supreme Court. Why? Because he's good-looking? Can you name one legal brief that he has written that is of any merit?
The top of his class at Harvard.
I asked you a question. I asked you, can you name one legal finding that Obama has written? I would be very curious if you do know of such.
No, I don't study law. I'm telling you the guy's qualification.
Well, no, so you're a classic true believer. You're one of the ignoramuses who elected Obama because you were taken in by the media and by George Soros' propaganda. You say he's qualified to be in the Supreme Court. I asked you a simple question. Can you name one legal brief he has written? The answer is you don't know of one.
Graduate from Harvard Law, buddy? Huh? Did you have the brains to do that?
Well, no, but I do have a PhD from the University of California at Berkeley, my friend, which is far better than Harvard Law. Any moron can memorize law books. So don't start comparing me to him because he can't hold a candle to me in terms of my achievements. But I'm not qualified to be on the Supreme Court. But he is. Why? Because you are a brainwashed fool. You were taken in by the media, and you were taken in by George Soros' propaganda machine. I've asked you again, and I'll give you another opportunity, dummy. Tell me one legal brief that Obama has written that would qualify him for serious discussion as a Supreme Court nominee. Can you give me one? No, you can't, you dummy, you. You're an absolute moron. You're exactly why the country is in the shape it's in. It's because of ignorant people like you who think they're so smart. That's all. Okay, I gave it to him between the ears. What do you want me to do? You want me to make believe yes, sir, and no, sir, and I respect your opinion, sir? Why should I respect the moron's opinion? Why? Where's it written I have to respect every jerk's opinion? No, Obama's not only not qualified to be on the Supreme Court, I'll repeat what I said before the election. Obama would not qualify to become an FBI agent. Obama would not have qualified to be in his own Secret Service protecting himself. How's that? Did any of the schmucks in the media write that? Did that putz Jonathan Alter of Newsweek say that? Did any of the stooge left-wing vermin from New York in the media circle say that he couldn't even qualify to be his own Secret Service agent? Because of his suspicious background and his unknown origins? Did any of the geniuses in the electronic media raise that question? This man couldn't have qualified to become an FBI agent. This man could not have qualified for the Secret Service. And now he's qualified to protect America from enemies foreign and domestic because of callers like I just had in the Savage Nation. You'll wake up one day and you'll say, you know what? That guy was right. That guy knows exactly what he's talking about. How come I don't hear it anywhere else? I'll let you figure out why. Colorado, Tim, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, you're so right on. You have your fingers right on the pulse of America.
I know I do. I have the most accurate stethoscope in the United States of America in the media. Nobody knows the heartbeat of America better than I do in the media. Nobody.
I've been listening for a long time. First time I've called, though, but you know, I just don't understand how what is happening to us can be happening to us. People are so boiled over, and there's just nothing that we can do.
Look at the last caller. He got mad at me because I said Obama's not qualified to be president. He says, "Well, he could be on the Supreme Court," and I said, "Well, name one legal brief he's written of any merit." He couldn't name it. All he said was he went to Harvard Law School. That's a qualification to become a Supreme Court justice? That you went to Harvard Law School and memorized law books?
Yeah. No, Obama couldn't even get a job where I am. I work at local law enforcement, and he wouldn't even pass. He would not have been able to get a job where
No, and why is that? Because of his past associations with suspicious characters such as Bill Ayers. Is that correct, Tim?
Exactly.
In other words, he's just another perp, but now he's the president of the United States of America.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it, Tim. We have now seen the complete reversal of fortune. We are now living in the equivalent of a light Mao Zedong revolution in America, where the person on the bottom is now on the top, and they're going to take all the qualified people and throw them out altogether. Wait until you see what's coming. If you think it's bad now, you're right, but it's only the beginning, my friend. It is not even the beginning of the end. It's the end of the beginning. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Well, a few weeks ago, Congress finally heard the voices of a strong majority of Americans.
Well, the headlines are all over MichaelSavage.com. The postman always rings left. Is Mr. Evil behind Obama's ideas? You betcha. Obama picks Janet Reno's former henchman, Eric Holder, to be the top lawyer in America. Did you hear what I just said? Holder orchestrated Clinton's pardon of fugitive Mark Rich. He is not going to be, now we're going to be the top law enforcement officer in America, a man who pardoned the fugitive Mark Rich. All you schmucks who thought you were getting change, you know what you got? You got pocket change, you chump. You got Clinton, too. The same gang that ran the Clinton administration is running this country under Obama, and you morons were used like the stooges you are. You always were useful idiots. But to me, you're useless idiots. Binghamton, New York. Kristen, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. It's an absolute honor to get to talk to you, and I have to tell you, as a college professor, not only did I agree with what you said earlier, but I tell all my students to listen to you. But I really wanted to talk to you about, I don't understand why, for the life of this country, have we made our American military so soft. I mean, it's just disgusting to
me. It's a product of a number of elements.
Okay.
The primary element is the social engineering that's going on inside the U.S. government and academia in general has infected the U.S. military, with rare exception. Let me not go into the few areas that haven't been touched because it'll give them ideas. But by and large, the Navy has become, I would think, by what I have seen, despite the fact that there are still phenomenally competent men in the military and in the Navy, by and large, a hotbed of social engineering. You go on a ship today, as I have gone, I am stunned to see 17, 18-year-old girls walking around on the ships. I don't see how that's good for the morale of the men. All it can do is produce strife. Number two, the minute they get pregnant, they wind up with benefits for life. They're floating brothels in many cases.
And, you know, what's even more striking to me is that this is not all over the mainstream media. I mean, the reason...
How could it be over the mainstream media when you have left-wing activists running the mainstream media who are glorifying Franklin Delano Roosevelt, if not Joseph Stalin, as role models for Obama?
And I mean,
now, you're a teacher of college. You're a college teacher. What subject?
I teach two different things right now. I'm just still an adjunct because I'm finishing my PhD, but I teach biological anthropology and general psychology.
Well, the reason you're still an adjunct is that you're not an illegal alien. Now, if you want to become a full professor overnight, Kristen, what I suggest you do is go to Mexico, destroy your identity, make up a false identity, make yourself into a Mexican national, and sneak over and get caught by the Border Patrol. Then go back to your college under a new name. You'll be made a full professor instantly.
And it's just the whole state of the country at this point is just completely ridiculous. How, I mean, the only way that I would ever have known about this story is if it was from you, or if...
Well, hold it. Which story?
The story about the piracy.
And the weakness of the U.S. Navy, Michael Mullen?
I can't, it's like, my husband said, he's like, I can go to Google Earth and find our house, but we can't find a tanker? Are you kidding me? Like,
mm-hmm.
It's just completely bizarre.
They can find a tanker. Every ship in the world is being tracked as we speak. I am convinced that satellites can have every ship in sight. It's that they don't have the guts to board the ship. They don't have the guts to go to Somalia and take hostage the entire village from where these pirates come and hold them hostage and bring them back to a Navy ship right across the way and wave to them, wave to the nice pirates and say, here's your wife, here's your son, here's your grandmother, here's your mother. You release that ship now. We're going to start to kill them one by one. I know it sounds crazy in this PC world. I know it sounds harsh. How come the Russians were able to do it?
Well, and as a matter of fact, that was the exact example my husband and I were talking about it. Right before you said it, I was like, they basically blew up a school, and they said, hey, there you go. You're going to take hostages.
Russia said, you took our school hostage in Beslan. We know that some children are going to die, but we're going to kill every one of you. Not one of you is walking out of here. They went in there and they killed every last one of them. Every woman in a burqa was killed. They weren't let out, and they weren't said, excuse me, madam, will you please step in the car? They killed them. They shot them dead. They shot them between the eyes. I've watched the video footage of this. The Russian Spetsnaz, who were the best trained special forces in the world, went in there and executed the Muslim terrorists in Beslan. That was the end of kidnappings. That was the end of hijackings in Russia. You know that, don't you?
Exactly. And, you know, until we grow a set of you-know-whats, because I don't want to say that on the radio.
Well, don't worry now. You have Eric Holder now as attorney general. He's the man who was number two to Janet Reno, who had a real pair because she ordered the extermination of about 80 men, women, and children in Waco, Texas. So don't worry about it. We have real brave people in the attorney general's office coming.
Well, I just definitely hope, I really have to say, that we do definitely grow a set of you-know-whats, because otherwise these sorts of incidences are going to just keep happening. And I don't think people...
Yes, and they're coming to a mall near you, Kristen. Kristen, name one story you get a free copy of Psychological Nudity. One story you want to read.
When pasta was spaghetti.
Oh, that's because your husband's Italian.
He's Irish and Native American.
I was close. I was very close. All right. I think I'll do one when corned beef was corned beef was cabbage, or when cabbage was corned beef. What do we have now? First documentary clip is of dummies saying Republican. Oh, yeah. There's a documentary, Stay in the Line, a lady gets a free book. And I have it up from Fox News. Documentary reveals how little Obama voters knew about issues. This is an amazing documentary. We have a few little clips from it. Can you please play the first clip from a documentarian went around. His name was, what's the documentarian's name? I need to know his name. I had it here. It was Ziegler. Mr. Ziegler went around, and he says that it was media malpractice that elected Obama. His documentary revealed how little Obama voters knew about issues. Listen to the first clip.
Which party currently controls Congress?
Currently, like, I don't know, actually.
The Republicans.
Republicans.
Republican.
Republicans, yes. Control Congress?
Yes.
Probably Republican, because the president's Republican. That's my honest answer.
I think it's Republicans are controlling it now, I believe.
What, the Republican?
Okay, these are voters who came out. These were voters for Obama, exit polls, and the documentarian said to them, who controls Congress? They all had it wrong. Can you believe this? Ziegler then asked Obama supporters which candidate had spent $150,000 on clothes and had a pregnant teenage daughter. I remember this. And all the interviewees immediately said Sarah Palin. Why?
Which?
Go ahead. Now ask, play it for them.
Which wore clothes that their party spent $150,000 on?
Palin.
Which has a pregnant teenage daughter?
Palin.
Which has a pregnant teenage daughter?
Sarah Palin.
Which of the four candidates has a pregnant teenage daughter?
Palin.
These are the idiots, the useful idiots, the submorons, the illiterates, who were manipulated by George Soros' American media dummies. And this is why we now have the least qualified man in American history sitting in the top spot. New York City, WOR Howard, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, I love your show. You've got to stick in there. We need you to guide America and sort of counteract all the BS that's coming from the big media. So no matter how tough it gets to wake up, get up in the morning, just keep getting up and keep doing what
you do. Yeah, right. It's real easy. How do you feel about the U.S. Admiral, the top admiral, stunned and shocked by pirates' reach, almost with admiration? How do you feel about your U.S. Navy today?
What a disgrace. There are so many things to be ashamed of. I'm a Jew and a Zionist, and what I see in Israel is a disgrace. I mean, liberalism's infected Israel, maybe even worse, because they're surrounded by assassins. And I'll tell you, though, I think that George Bush, one of the worst things he did in his presidency was on 9/11, he taught anger management to the whole country. He had a whole country ready to go out there and tear some people apart, make the terrorists, I'm talking Islamic, I'm talking leftist, liberals, I'm talking the terrorists, sit up straight, crawl back in their rat holes. And instead he said, oh, it's kind, it's a religion of peace. You had a country that was ready for
Well,
leaders.
It's gotten worse. The FBI director has just directed a month ago that nobody in the FBI can refer to any terrorists with any reference to Islam. Are you aware of that?
too aware of it. Not look at Israel. They're tearing down the homes of settlers, and you have Arabs that are squatting on Jewish land, and they look the other way. I mean, it's disgusting to see this.
Well, get ready it's going to get much worse before it gets better, Howard. It's not going to get better. It's going to get much worse. To me, the bottom was when the top U.S. admiral says he's stunned by the pirates' reach and stunned by how well they did. You hear this?
If we could go out for a couple nights of pasta and spaghetti, we could have a wonderful time. Unfortunately, it's real. It's so disgusting. And who are the voices that we can trust? I mean, we had McCain. All right, we could live with McCain, we said. What's he doing? 2 weeks later, like, oh, it's just an act. I really love Barry. You know,
I know. Oh, McCain was a fraud through and through. McCain was fool's gold. I would say, you know, there used to be a phrase, 14-carat phony. McCain was a lower grade of gold. He was dental gold.
I love your words that you come up with, this one, useless idiots. I love that because I've been using useful. Useless idiots is wonderful.
Well, right. I think Marx used the phrase useful idiots. I would say they're useless idiots, the Obamaites. But McCain is you can mark this one down. McCain was not a 14-carat phony. McCain is fool's gold. Does that work for you?
Hey, you said that maybe he was just broken from those years as a prisoner. It could be.
I have sympathy for him. That doesn't mean that the Republicans should have run him as a fall guy. By the way, do you know why it's called fool's gold, Howard, just as a fact? It's an interesting question and answer.
Yeah, people looking for gold got this mineral, and they thought it was gold. It wasn't gold. It looked like it may have been gold, but it wasn't.
Well, it's a little different than that. In other words, we know there are various carats of gold, depending upon the amount of gold in the alloy, right? And the mixture of alloy and gold. So there's 22-carat gold. There's 14-carat gold, which is cheaper, right? Dental gold is only about 5 or 6% gold, and the rest are hard alloys, because otherwise, if it was like all gold or 24-carat gold or, 14-carat gold, it would be too soft to be in your teeth. And so they had to harden it with more metal. Consequently, it's cheaper. So when you get when you have gold in your teeth, it's really dental gold, which is very, very diluted. It's diluted in terms of its gold content, and it's known as fool's gold. People think it's gold when it is in part, but it's a diluted form of gold, and so it's known as fool's gold. And that's why I say John McCain was the fool's gold in the mouth of the conservative movement.
What I say to people is you have to experience bad to appreciate good. And we might be entering we're entering 4 years, if we're lucky, of bad.
Well, did you see who Obama just appointed to be the attorney general? Can you believe that he would pick Eric Holder? Eric Holder orchestrated Clinton's pardon of fugitive Mark Rich. Eric Holder worked for the criminal Janet Reno. Eric Holder was sitting in there while 80 men, women, and children were burnt to the ground in Waco, Texas. Eric Holder was in the attorney general's office, if I remember correctly, when men were executed, when the ATF and FBI sharpshooters executed Randy Weaver's wife and son right in front of his eyes. None of those men ever went to jail. We're in for very dangerous times, Howard. It's not just the gang that couldn't shoot straight. Unfortunately, these people can shoot very straight indeed.
I was hoping for Jamie Gorelick, though.
Don't worry, Howard. We didn't hear where she's going to wind up. She may not be AG, but she could be running the Civil Rights Division.
Hey, if they let her escape scot-free from everything, we don't deserve to be a country.
Well, let's not go there, because then we'll go into a place that we can't come out of, okay? Howard, I'm sending you a free copy of what?
My favorite, though, is the tuna fish salad. I don't hear people mention that.
No, I'm sending you a free copy of Reducing the Risk of Alzheimer's. I'm joking. No, I'm sending you, okay, Fat Al's Tuna, you got it. It's on the way. Stay in the line. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Is the Savage Nation. Eric Holder, appointed to become the top law enforcement official in America by Barack Obama, is a very interesting man in many regards. Now, you're reading the surface of what he has done that is questionable, which is that while he was a deputy attorney general under Janet Reno, he was drawn into the pardon of fugitive Mark Rich. While the Justice Department had no direct involvement in the pardon that was Clinton's doing, Eric Holder gave a, quote, neutral, leaning towards favorable, unquote, opinion of the pardon to Clinton, which gave Clinton cover for the rich pardon on Clinton's final day in office. But wait, it gets worse. You're not going to read this in your paper tomorrow morning, which is why they're dying and I'm thriving. You're not going to read this tomorrow in the New York Times. You're not going to read this tomorrow in the LA Times. You're not going to read this tomorrow in the Chicago Sun-Times. You're not going to hear this tomorrow on Fox News, but you're going to hear it tonight. You may hear it on CNN because they listen to my show and copy me. As I told you, CNN is a much better network than they have been. They're smart enough to see which way the wind blows, and they realize that 48 million Americans can't all be dumb and wrong. In January of 2008, Eric Holder joined a brief, a legal brief, in Washington, in a case called D.C. versus Heller, along with none other than Janet Sterno and a handful of other leftist Justice Department officials in support of the D.C. handgun ban. Their legal brief stated that the right to keep and bear arms is not an individual right. So that's what's coming now in the United States of America. Although the U.S. Supreme Court ruled last spring on the issue of what the Second Amendment means, and they ruled, by the way, for the first time in over 200 years, that it had never been taken to the Supreme Court, and they said 5-4, you have a right to bear arms, and it is an individual right. This character, Eric Holder, believes the opposite. He represents the far left, disarming, gun-grabbing brigades, the Janet Reno types, the Janet Sterno types, who believe that the FBI, the ATF, and other governmental agencies should be armed to the teeth, but you have no right to so much as a BB gun. Virginia, John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I would like to. I'm like to say I'm in the Navy. Been in the Navy 10 years, and in my 10 years, the Navy has gotten weaker. There's a problem if when you say, "Hey, I'm transferring to this certain ship," oh, you're going to the Love Boat. I'm going to this ship. Oh, that's the SED yacht. Or when there's areas work spaces on the ship, they call the Shag and Shack.
Well, that's what the military has become now, floating brothels.
It is.
And that's why the pirates can get away with what they get away with. But the problem starts not at the bottom, but it starts with Admiral Mullen, who should be thrown out of the Navy. The first thing they do should throw that bum out and put in somebody who really understands what a military is supposed to do. It is not a social agency. Moreover, it's not a floating brothel.
Exactly. I think it's higher than that. And I've been in 10 years, and in 2 years, I'm up for reenlistment. Unless something changes.
Of course it's higher than that. George Bush appointed Mullen. It all goes to George Bush. Of course it's George Bush. Look what he did in Iraq. He can't resolve the war. Look what's going on in Afghanistan. They're still chasing poppy growers.
I don't know what we're doing there, but unless something changes, in two years, I will throw away 12 years of military experience because I will not reenlist under this government.
But, John, that's exactly what they want. They want men like you out, and what they want are more appointees who see it as the shagging shack rather than the U.S. Navy.
Oh, yeah, and that's exactly what it's turned into. You go to the desert. And
see, how do I know these things? How do I, a talk show host, understand and know all of these things? Well, because I read a lot, I talk with people, I investigate, and I know what's going on. And it's a sad thing to have to report, John, but you're actually in there, and you see it. Thank you for listening from Virginia, and thanks for calling the Savage Nation. Reno, Nevada. Joseph, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yeah, Mike, I'll agree with the previous caller. I commend your discernment to be able to see, you know, without ever being in there. It is a disgusting, glorified version of unsupervised debauchery. It's absolutely sick.
What do you think would happen when you put young women on a boat with 1,000 men? You think they're not going to fornicate? Now, whose idea was this? This was the radical feminists. This was a desire to destroy the group integrity of the U.S. Navy and the U.S. military by pushing women into combat positions, particularly on the Navy. What do you think is going to happen? When I visited the U.S. aircraft carrier and I saw young girls, of which there were like 10 men for every one girl, what kind of division is that going to create in the Navy? Exactly what the radical feminists dreamed of.
And you wouldn't believe the amount of manipulation in the chain of command. I mean, there's some very old school, and I can tell they want to say stuff, but they're tied up. They can't say anything.
Of course. That's right. It's all it is what it is, my friend. We've had a revolution in the United States of America. We've had a mini Maoist revolution in America, and you've only seen the beginning, not the end. Get ready for a very rough ride, Joseph. I'm sending a free copy of Psychological Nudity to you in Reno, Joseph. It's one of only a few hundred copies left of the first printing.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, for well over an hour and a half, I've been railing against the impotence of the U.S. military and of the West in general. I've been railing against the PC military. I've been railing against the floating brothels known as the U.S. Navy. I've been railing against Michael Mullen, chief of the U.S. Navy. I've been railing against the supine posture of our government as Muslim pirates from Somalia seize one ship after another. And it's funny that Drudge, whoever's working for it, must be listening to my show, because that's now his lead story, Dawn of the Pirate. Pirates demand $10 million ransom, and world leaders say we're powerless to act. They're powerless to act? They're powerless to act with the most powerful military hardware in the world? They're powerless to act? They're not powerless to act. Here, I've given you a solution on the show. They know what village these guys are from. In fact, they do it for a living. The pirates come from only a few villages in Somalia. You go and you take the entire village hostage. You send in special forces. You take the entire village hostage. You bring them out to sea. You float next to the ship that's been hijacked. You parade the women and the children and the grandmothers out on the ship, and you say, we're going to kill. But you don't know who you're dealing with if you don't understand how to deal with them. If you don't understand how to deal with them, I'm telling you, they'll take over the whole world. If you don't get these patsies out of these positions of power, all is lost. And let me tell you something. The Russians knew how to deal with the Muslim terrorists in Chechnya. You remember the incident where the Chechen terrorists took over the school in Beslan, Russia? Do you remember that story? The Russians knew how to deal with them. They sent in the toughest special forces in the world. They sent in sharpshooters. They gassed the entire auditorium. And of course, horribly, some of the hostages died. Horrible. But every terrorist was shot between the eyes. Women didn't matter. Burqa didn't matter. Holy rollers didn't matter. Holy books in their hands, it didn't matter. They shot him between the eyes. They didn't want to give him a fair trial. They weren't like George Bush. They didn't want to bring the Muslim terrorists back for a day of justice in the U.S. courts. They shot him between the eyes. And guess what? I don't think Russia's been plagued with any Islamic terrorism since then. And we haven't seen the beginning yet. We have seen nothing yet. Pirates demand ransom. World leaders were powerless to act. What do you mean they're powerless to act? They're not powerless to act. They're just powerless to think, because they've been trained to be stooges of a government that's powerless to think. Apparently, no one's in charge. Apparently, no one can think all the way up the chain of command. So what's the good of the most advanced military hardware on Earth if you don't have the brains and the guts to use it? That's how they blew up the coal under Bill Clinton. And that's what we've been talking about. That's exactly what's going on in our police departments. It's not that the police aren't as tough as they've ever been. Most of them are. 80% of them are as tough as they've ever been. 80% of them are as hard as nails. But they're ruled by the 20% of, let us say, sexual deviance and other directed individuals at the top levels of the police departments throughout America. And that's exactly what's happened in the military. I'm glad to see Drudge is listening to the Savage Nation. I'm very honored, as a matter of fact, that he's taken my lead and run it as a headline story, and he deserves credit for it. At least somebody listens to the show in the media. That's more than I could say for Newsweek or any of the others. So there we are. If you want to comment on that, you can call me at 1-800-449-8255. Or look at my website and talk about any topic you would like. Mark in New Hampshire, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Michael, it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
What I wanted to speak about was the topic of force not being able to be used. I'm a retired police officer, and I've watched over the years people get leapfrogged into positions of power when they're not qualified only by their gender or their...
The worst case is in San Francisco where we have a woman police chief. Now, there are tough, competent women. This one was put in through affirmative action. She has not qualified to fire a pistol in over 2 years. She is so small in stature that they cannot find a hat small enough to fit on her head. She is surrounded by radical feminist cronies in police uniforms. That is what passes for the police chief in San Francisco. And if you think it's an anomaly, you're wrong. It is throughout America today that you have this going on. It's also going on in the U.S. military.
Interview with the Gangbusters author, the Los Angeles...
Oh, yeah, that was a great interview last week when the LAPD hired the toughest ex-military guys from World War II to keep the gang out of L.A.
Type of men that I learned under, that taught me. And then I've seen it completely morph into now where we had a local department where four officers left because a unqualified woman was leapfrogged over and became chief. And four qualified men, probably 80 years combined experience, are now gone from that department.
And well, isn't that what the leftists want?
Exactly. It is.
Tough, now, qualified men disappearing. Unqualified people being put in their place? Isn't that their dream, to soften up America for the final fall?
We need the men like those gangbusters, the ones who taught me how to do my job, both in, you know, the whole scope, community policing, and then when you have to be the hard guy, you need to do it. Simple as that.
Well, I once read a book about police and military that was very interesting. They said most of the rest of the population basically are the sheep, and you people are the shepherds. The difference between the police and the military and the bad guys, meaning the terrorists and or the criminal, is that you're as tough as them, but you're not sociopathic. In other words, the people who are as tough as the criminal, but who choose not to become the criminal, become the shepherd. But they have the same capacity for homicide as the murderer. And that's what it takes to protect the sheep from the homicidal maniacs. It was a very interesting analysis, Mark.
Is the problem with the way we're dealing with these pirates. We need to have men like those gangbusters who will just say, well, we're going to get this job done one way or another. This castrating...
But look, I have read how the British controlled the Islamic terrorists in the 150 years ago. They treated terror with more terror. They used much more terroristic tactics on the Islamic terrorists than the terrorists were able to use on the British military at that time. That was the only way to defeat them. General Pershing dipped his bullets in pig fat, for example. Other generals wrapped the bodies of the dead enemy in pig so they would not go to heaven. If you're dealing with primitive throwbacks like this, you have to use psychology as well as force on them. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. You have to meet force with force and then put your intelligence with that force to get your objective taken care of.
Mark, stay on the line. You don't have to even read a story. I just want to say thank you for serving America. I'm sending you a free copy of Psychological Nudity. Next up, I have an incredible interview that you have to listen to. It's a man who fought for Adolf Hitler. He grew up in the Hitler Youth. He was a right-winger? You're wrong. He was a national socialist. He's warning us that we're on the same road as Hitler's Germany, being led by the radical leftists in this country. You better listen, and you'll say you heard it first here on the Savage Nation. You know, I've been warning you about the left's attempts to bring us into socialism. Sure, we have socialism for the rich. That's bad enough. But wait until you see what real socialism is. Control of the media, schools, religion, now the business world. Joining us today is Hilmar von Kamp, who was a former Hitler Youth. Did you hear me? Hitler Youth fought with the Hitler armies. He's now warning us that the U.S. is moving closer to Nazi-style totalitarianism, but it's coming from the left, as I've warned you. Hilmar von Kamp, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, this was not only an honor, but a pleasure to be on your show.
Tell us what it was like in the Hitler Youth.
Well, basically, it concerned more my parents than myself. My parents, their principal occupation was that we would be brainwashed by the Nazis and became Nazis ourselves. And that was practically their daily battle. But since we were in small cities, that danger was not very big. We played. I was in the Hitler Youth But it wasn't for me as a boy of 10 to the first 4 years, it was just a playground. As far as the indoctrination is concerned, that is what I see today here in America and in Europe as well, is the brainwashing of the people by the normal channels. In other words, at that time there was only radio and newspapers. They were controlled 100% by Hitler, and here you have the so-called prime media, media, and they bring ideological dishonesty to the country, and people get fed with lies, and then at the end they don't know anymore what's up and down. And we can see in America today that the concept of right and wrong is completely, it's nearly not existent anymore.
What similarities do you see in what is going on now to the socialism you saw in Germany growing up?
Well, socialism is being viewed by most people here, and that is also brainwashing news, that it is an economic fact. In other words, the state economy against private economy called capitalism. This is only the consequence of what comes before, and that is the spiritual side of socialism, which is anti-God. It is an anti-God movement in the what we see, and I think the Nazis were part of it, not the first. This goes on for one century. That is the insurrection of humanity against God, and that is an organized abandonment of God's moral commandments and the establishment of an infrastructure which is man-made and is socialist normally. What we have, and I think Obama is part of that, is trying to get America, United States, into the bed with United Nations and become a part of the socialist world grouping. Let me then say that in Nazi Germany, it was patriotism which Hitler provoked. He had his strategy, and he got me with it. And so that we felt that the war, for instance, was not a Nazi war, it was a German war. We were against, my parents were against the Nazis, but we couldn't, we wanted to defend our country. Now here, it is a little bit different. I think Obama goes out of his way to establish the fact that he is a Christian, to win the Christians, to make the difference between being elected or not. And he says that he is a profound Christian. He's a liar.
How important was the control of the media for the spread of socialism, national socialism, Nazism?
It's essential. Well, we have very, I am in touch with Europe all the time. My wife is, she was born in Peru. I spent many years of my life in Latin America and various countries. And what we get by them from there, what they think about the U.S., in Germany it's 80% to are for Obama. And in South America, Latin America, it is similar. That means we are not just up against the campaign against the sovereignty of the United States. Even so, that is at the core of everything. But this is a global smear campaign in order to discredit our leaders, which are not very good, I have to admit, and the people of the United States. So therefore, I think, and that is what Hitler did also. I mean, that was a part of the daily life, but it was, we took this for very good because that were the people who disgraced us in after the First World War. So we fell for it. And here people, the so-called Christians, they fell for it and have no standards that you cannot be a Christian and a Marxist at the same time, one or the other. It is truth or lie. And that is the ideological global battle line, is morality, not economy. It's either truth or lie. And that is what I'm fighting for, to get truth established in the United States again, as the founding fathers formulated it, because freedom without truth is not lasting. It's freedom has to be based in truth. Then America can become different if that happens here and we get back to our constitution. And the question is the role of God in human society. That is the issue which is being fought, but most people are not aware of it. They think it depends on what economy we have and whether you have a good or a bad. That, of course, is very important. But it is only the consequence of the character and of the ideology of people who make decisions. And unfortunately, we have now a leadership which is Marxist.
What can we do now?
Well, we have to have a campaign in America for truth and against the lie. Everybody has lies. There was a university in North Carolina. They wanted to know how much people lie, and they came to the conclusion that every person lies at least once a day. Imagine 300 million, that's about how many we are. No wonder that our infrastructure is full of lies. People can begin, who wants to change America to the better, must not begin with somebody else, like do the Republicans do that very well, and the Democrats even can do it professionally. Everybody can start stopping his own lie and then stand up for truth and not sit and be a bystander. I was a bystander under the Nazis. I was a religious bystander, and we have religious bystanders to the millions here in this country. The Christians have to fight. They have to fight for truth. We have an education in the schools. The children get the same lies with Darwinism which we got under the Nazis. We got the same. We got Darwinism because at Hitler was for the strongest to survive, and Darwin said the strongest survive. So we have to get back to our constitution. And that has to be organized. I mean, I think some patriots, real patriots, no politicians who are out for themselves, have to define freedom, the concept of freedom. What means it to be free? Not that I can do as I please, but that everybody is free to speak out and speak out yourself, but not lies, but truths. I want to say that I, as independently that it looks very grim for the future of America at this point, that I think America is the only nation in the world who can turn the tide on evil. And that is what I'm fighting for, that the United States, the government and the political establishment, they are not working for themselves. They, A, work for the people who have elected them, and second, are obedient to the commandments of God. Then we will see something different, and that has to come out of the families, of the Christian families, and the Christian leader of this nation.
Hilmar von Kamp, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
I wish you the very best, and anytime you want, I'll be back on your show.
Savage.
You heard me warn you about the unfairness doctrine, how it really is only an attempt to limit our freedom of speech and shut down only one aspect of the media, me and other people on the right side of the band. Our next guest is Dr. Kenneth Hill, whose latest book is entitled Assault on Liberty, Rebirth of the Fairness Doctrine, and he looks at how this unfair doctrine would be used against our rights to freedom of speech. Kenneth Hill, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, Michael, thank you for having me on. I love listening to you and reading your books. I appreciate the fact that you're speaking out. Thank you for having me.
So what do you see going on here?
The truth is that since 1987, when the Fairness Doctrine was bumped off the calendar by the FCC under the Reagan administration, the Democrats in Congress have introduced legislation each session trying to get the Fairness Doctrine reinstituted. Because, as Al Gore said in 2007 on an interview on national television, we need to protect ourselves. It's a protection for us. Well, protection for whom? I think that the protection is for the liberal elite, certainly not for the listener to talk radio or the viewer of television that might be doing the investigative reporting that needs to be done. So why is it coming back and what's behind it? Well, I think it's never really gone away. The elitists have always wanted to be able to control free speech.
How would they shut down conservative talk radio?
Well, it wouldn't happen overnight. It would happen little by little, step by step. It would be through intimidation by the Federal Communications Commission or whatever organization would be policing this thing. The intimidation would be toward radio broadcast station owners and television station owners, and they would go toward them and say, look, your license will be in jeopardy if you do not do as we say. It's not a question of fairness. It's not a question of equal access. It is comes down to a question of control, who's going to control. And so they would come to the broadcast station owner and say, if you don't do it the way we want it done, we're going to bring you up before the Federal Communications Commission and charge you with not following the rules. If you don't follow the rules, you'll pay a fine. You may lose your license. We may have you tied up in the system, the bureaucratic system and the court system, for years. And we may even deny your license next time around, so you may want to do it our way. Now, when the Fairness Doctrine was in vogue in 1949 to 1987, there were just a handful of stations that had major trouble. They were all conservative stations. Every one of them had conservative programming on them, and they got into trouble because primarily the Democrat National Committee had a group of people that went from place to place creating havoc for broadcasters who had conservative programs on. And I would think that that's the kind of thing that would happen in the future. It wouldn't be an immediate thing. They may have the Fairness Doctrine quickly. They may take a while to get it reinstituted, or it can be through some of the localism rules or other things. But it will happen, and over time, they will have their way.
Well, we're talking about not just the danger to talk radio, but to our freedom of speech in this country.
I think it's a danger to the First Amendment right of free speech on the whole. I think that we're talking talk radio because that sort of touches a nerve. 40% of the American populace get much of their information from talk radio. Some 85 to 95%, depending on which survey you look at, listen to radio on a weekly basis, about 85% on a daily basis. They get their information from radio. They want to be able to hear their favorite opinion people. They want to hear their favorite news people. They want to hear what their favorite personality has to say. And so talk radio then is sort of the beginning of this, and people start thinking about it toward talk radio. But it will also go toward ethnic radio. It'll go toward religious radio of various kinds. It will go against approximately, there's 4,000, 4,500 stations that are talk stations or formatted with some blend of talk and teaching, secular stations or religious stations. But these are commercial stations. They'll be going, trying to figure out how they're going to change their format. They'll be the ones under attack. So it won't just be talk radio stations. It'll be other kinds. Then it won't just stop there, because those who have been proposing a rebirth of the Fairness Doctrine have been proposing that they extend it. And Commissioner McDowell from the FCC mentioned that the FCC doesn't really want to do anything with the Fairness Doctrine now, but of course that's going to be changing with the new administration coming in. But if they did something, it may not be called the Fairness Doctrine, but it would be extending itself to the Internet as well. And that's shocking, chilling, and something to be avoided.
What would the FCC's role be in this?
Well, the FCC in the past, when the Fairness Doctrine was in place, the Federal Communications Commission did its job as the regulator. And its position as regulator then would be to oversee the Fairness Doctrine and how that it's being implemented. There are localism rules that the FCC is already looking at that would have some of the same effects of the Fairness Doctrine, or as the Fairness Doctrine would have. And so the FCC then would be in charge of all of that. If it were extended to the Internet, there'd have to be some probably legislative understanding of how to do that. But right now, the FCC is over most of the broadband initiatives in the United States.
Well, what do you think the chances of this actually happening? Are we just worrying about nothing?
In fact, it's a very good question, because the Los Angeles Times last week was talking about, they had an opinion piece that talked about how it was just hysteria. I've read that time and time again in other papers. But newspapers are not covered by the Fairness Doctrine, so they don't have anything to worry about or be concerned about. I don't think it's hysteria. I think it's reality. I think we're looking at an 80 to 85% chance that something like the Fairness Doctrine or the Fairness Doctrine itself will be resurrected. I think that when you look at localism rules, you look at changes that the FCC is already looking at, and you superimpose that on a Democrat FCC with a Democrat president and a Democrat Congress, and you're looking for something like this to be in the works and to be a reality rather soon.
Of course, this won't accept NPR or CNN, will it?
Well, if they do what they've done in the past, no. They won't be touching anything that's not conservative. In the past, the Kennedy administration, the Johnson administration, even the Nixon administration went after radio stations that did not program talk or information the way that they wanted it to be done. But the only stations that came close or lost their licenses were Christian conservative stations. They were Christian teaching stations that aired conservative political messages. And that happened quite often, that they were approached and attacked through the Fairness Doctrine back in those days. But the one station that comes to mind that lost its license was WXUR in Media, Pennsylvania. And they lost their license simply because they refused to knuckle under and to play what the FCC said they had to play on the air. Now, the FCC, if you go to their website and you go to FCC.gov, you'll read right there that they have no control over content. And yet we know that they don't have that control now, as they say, but they could easily have that control if they wanted it.
How do they decide what is fair?
Well, what's fair to me may not be fair to somebody else, or what is balanced to me may not be balanced to somebody else. In fact, I don't know that any of us are fair or balanced. I think some of us are fair-minded, and I think that we try to, we in the broadcast industry, do our best to present all of the viewpoints, and I think we can do that in a negative or a positive light, but yet we need to inform people, and I encourage people to be informed. And I think that when we start looking at what is fair and balanced, the FCC would have a hard time trying to figure that out. In fact, that was the problem before. In 1969, in the Red Lion decision before the Supreme Court said that the Fairness Doctrine was okay, and that limitation on free speech was acceptable. But they still said how you go about implementing it is the tough thing. It's the hard thing.
What could we the people do?
Well, in my book, Assault on Liberty, Rebirth of the Fairness Doctrine, I mention that it's important, first of all, to be informed, to know what you're talking about. Number two, be active. Be active in your locality, in your community. Go to those city council meetings. Go to those county commission meetings. Be involved in what's going on in your community. Be a decent person, okay? You're out there, you're in the community, you're part of society. Know what's going on, be involved in what's going on, and then make your opinion known. Let folks know. Let folks know you're not for the Fairness Doctrine in this case, or for limitations on freedom of speech of any kind. You're for the First Amendment. You can do that personally. You can do that by email. You can do that by letter. You can do that by a letter to the editor, or an op-ed piece in the local paper, or if one of the broadcast facilities allows it, you can do that. That's how you have to go about doing it. And when you gather together with your friends, let them know what's going on. Don't keep them in the dark. Let them know what's going on, because you are important in this process. You must be informed, and you must inform others.
Kenneth Hill, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's been my pleasure. Anytime I can be of assistance to you, let me know.
Savage.
It is the one and only Savage Nation. And things look dim right now when you see a guy like a rewarmed meal like Eric Holder, worked for Janet Reno, supervised, in essence, gave a green light to the pardoning of Mark Rich, fugitive financier, connected by some to Fidel Castro, and I'm going to report on that tomorrow, incidentally. Not directly, of course. There's never any direct connection. Very dangerous trends emerging in the Obama picks. It has nothing whatsoever to do with skin color to me. It has to do with the color of their politics, which is pink, at least, and quite crimson at worst. Remember that this fellow who that Obama is picking to be attorney general, or allegedly picking right now, has a track record. Now, you fools, you useless idiots who voted for Obama, you actually thought you were going to get change? You're getting retreaded Clintonites at every level of government. Every level of government, you're seeing not a changing of the guard, but a reversal back to the Clinton years. You understand that? Now, there are those who criticize we in conservative talk radio, calling us entertainers, and they say that we have an answer for everything, and they say that we really have no idea what to do. We have no answers. We just tear everybody down. I've written 5 bestsellers in a row that are filled with answers and solutions. The problem is that idiots like Chuck Hagel don't read. Apparently, they're incapable of reading solutions. They're only capable of compromised positions. We are talking primarily today about not only the reversal of, the retreads that he is using, Obama, the retreads like the attorney general pick. We're also talking about the loss of democracy in America. Here in California, for example, we have an attorney general, Moonbeam Brown, who once actually thought in his arrogance that he would be governor again. What he doesn't understand is that he is so out of step with the people of California who voted to ban homosexual marriage, 52-48. They voted fair and square. And Moonbeam Brown has an obligation as attorney general to enforce legitimate ballot propositions. And this, of course, is a legitimate ballot proposition. But instead of enforcing it and making it law, he is undermining the voter by going to the vermin on the California Supreme Court who try to shaft the voters in the past. He's going to the same 5 filthy black robes who work for the homosexual mafia. I have no other words for it. They're owned lock, stock, and barrel by the very powerful homosexual mafia, which seems to own the governorship, the attorney general, and the Supreme Court. Now, that is fascism. Do you understand what fascism is? If the will of the people is subverted repeatedly in the only evidence of direct democracy that we have, which is the ballot initiative, that is a dictatorship. And here we have liberals like Moonbeam Brown, not even understanding that they're marching in the same band that my previous guest, 2 guests ago, warned us about, a band that played the oom-pah-pah sounds in the Third Reich. Now, they would deny it. They would say we're the furthest from the Hitlerites that you could ever imagine. But their actions don't indicate that. Their actions indicate that they are marching to the same drummer that led the Nazi party in Germany of the 1930s. I know it sounds preposterous to understand it, but that's because your brain has been so washed of truth that you don't even know when you hear it that it's the truth. What would you call subverting the democracy of a vote of the people? What would you call that? Would you call that freedom or tyranny? What would you call the top law enforcement officer of the state of California working to undermine the votes of the people? Would you call that democracy or would you call that tyranny? Now let's look at the national level. What would you call a U.S. Navy who is sitting there knocking their knees together, saying they can't do anything about a bunch of ragtag Somali pirates who use rowboats with Honda motors to take over an oil tanker 3 times larger than an aircraft carrier, and they don't know what to do? Admiral Mullen saying he doesn't know. Play the Admiral Mullen piece. You're not going to believe this. Listen to this.
Were you stunned or surprised by the attack on this large vessel today versus going after smaller boats?
I'm stunned by the range of it, less so than I am the size. These are pretty they've proven to be pretty capable, can get on and off lots of vessels. I mean, this is a 300,000-ton 3 times bigger
than
one of
our... So we have another MBA now, but he's unfortunately not in a think tank. This jerk is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, sitting there in his almost basso voice, glowing about the competence of the pirates, not about the competence of the U.S. Navy, which are, unfortunately today, the ships have become floating brothels. I've had one naval caller after another. Not the phonies with the MBAs. The guys who work on the ships who know that they're shag ships. They know what's going on. The Navy has been destroyed by the feminist movement. And we've been talking about that. We've been talking about the police departments in America, where you have 80-85% strong men of all races, and you have the 15% of deviants and incompetent women put in there for political correctness reasons, and the police forces are suffering as a result. And if you think it's bad now, you are right. But it's only going to get much worse. And how do I know that? Take a look at who he's appointing already, Obama. He takes a retread like this, Eric Holder, who worked for Janet Sterno, who oversaw the extermination, the burning to death, the Holocaust upon almost 80 men, women, and children in Waco, Texas. Nobody has gone to jail for that crime against the citizens at Waco, Texas. Forget Koresh. Forget him. We're talking about the illegal use of force by the United States government under Janet Reno. Nobody has been punished. Nobody's gone to jail. You say it's ancient history? Then why is Obama taking an attorney general, an assistant or a deputy attorney general from that period, that dark period of American history, and suggesting that he become the attorney general? Why is he taking Hillary Clinton, who is bound by the baggage of her husband's administration for 8 years, and suggesting she become Secretary of State, when there are many questions surrounding her co-presidency? You idiots, you are not the useful idiots that Marx wrote about. You are the useless idiots that Savage warned about. You are the illiterate, uneducated left in America. You don't even know who these people are. You don't even understand that change meant nothing. It was a slogan. And you have been had. You have been had. You have been had. Aberdeen, Washington. Linda, go ahead. You have the last word on the show today.
On election night, all I could think of was, God, I hope all those people that say that's the way it should be, I hope to God they're right, because that's not how I feel.
Actually, so is that what you... What'd you call about? Well, you have only a minute left.
I want one of your books.
You want a book for free. That's all you want is a book for free. I'm only good to be used, huh? All right, I'll tell you what, since I'm in a good mood, name one story in psychological nudity. Fire away, quick.
One-Arm Frank.
All right, you get a free copy of it. There's about, I think, 400 or 500 copies of the first edition, first printing left. A second printing is on the way for your Christmas and holiday shopping, and I really suggest you get online for it, because I know it's going to be moved out, and I'm not going to probably print it anymore. Anyway, that's it for the day. The Navy has been exposed as incompetent. The pirates have been shown to be more brazen than the U.S. Navy, and they say they don't know what to do. Take the entire village hostage in Somalia from where the pirates come. Hang them overboard a Navy ship. You'll get that ship back in 15 minutes.
Savage.